Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
The story is of a man and woman who got married, and shortly after they got married, they went water skiing. And while water skiing, this man lost his wedding band, which sank to the bottom of that lake.
I'm sure they thought it was lost forever.
Oh, absolutely. Now, the story gets very tragic because a few weeks later, the man was killed, and so leaving this woman a very young widow. Mm. 20 years later, she sees an article in the newspaper that that lake where they were water skiing and where he lost the wedding band was being drained so that they could do some work on the dam. Oh. And there was a man there with a metal detector who was finding all sorts of things in the bottom of the lake. Oh. So she just thought, you know, on a hunch, she would just write him and say, listen, if you're looking, if you happen to find a wedding band that has an inscription inside of it, and she told what the words were, please let me know. That's mine. It was lost by me and my husband 20 years ago, and he is now deceased.
Don't tell me the guy found the ring.
He found it. Like 2 days later, he contacts her and says, you won't believe this, but I just found a wedding band. She said, are the words there? And he read to her the inscription on the inside of the ring. She could not believe it. This was so important to her because of what the band symbolized to her. The band itself was not all that valuable, but it meant something very important to her. Symbols are very, very important to us at
times. Yes, and in this case, it was a symbol of her marriage. And her husband was no longer around. So I can imagine how much she cherished that symbol.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, many of us are thinking about Jesus' cross and what he did on the cross for us. And today we're going to discuss this part of the story, the last words of Jesus on the cross. You know, the words of a dying man are always important because they tell us much about why that person, how that person views their life and what they're thinking at that moment. And so today we're going to look at Jesus' words from the cross, and then we're going to tell you about a very important symbol that meets the substance at the cross.
We find the story in the 23rd chapter of Luke, starting with verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, the sixth hour being noon, the ninth hour being 3 o'clock. Verse 45, because the sun was obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. Another Roman official declares Jesus to be innocent.
There are very interesting things here that we want to point out to you. One is the one that Mike just talked about. As you remember, we've been doing programs of how important it is for Luke that Jesus is constantly being declared innocent by the Roman authority. So we had Pilate, then we had Herod declaring him innocent, and now we have the centurion, the one that participated in his crucifixion, after his death, saying this man was innocent. What is interesting is that Matthew and Mark say that the centurion said this was truly the Son of God. And I'm sure he said that also. But Luke focuses on the fact that he said this man was innocent.
He is innocent. So we got these three Roman officials declaring him innocent. Even the thief that was on the cross with him, one of the thieves said he was innocent. So over and over again, we hear this theme, the innocence of Christ. He was crucified for something he did not deserve.
Correct. Now, another thing that Luke mentions that we don't have in Matthew and Mark, both Matthew and Mark tell us that Jesus cried out with a loud voice. But the Gospel of Luke tells us what he said when he cried out with a loud voice, and that is verse 46. Maybe we can reread that one verse.
Okay, and Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
Now, this is very interesting. This is an actual prophecy that is found in the Psalms. You know, Jesus said many things from the Psalms when he was at the cross. You know, Matthew says that he said something from Psalm 22, why have you forsaken me?
And this comes from Psalm 31, verse 5, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord God of truth, is the full text in verse 5 of Psalm 31. So he's actually quoting scripture here from the cross. And again, as you have said earlier, he also quoted Psalm 22 from the cross as well.
And that is mentioned in Matthew. Now, here in Luke, Luke is making the point that this is a voluntary act by Jesus, that he is committing his life into the hands of the Father. He's laying down his life purposefully. And what is going on here? And why would he do that? Why would he say, okay, Father, I am going to die, and I'm in my right mind when I'm making my decision to commit and submit my spirit to you and do this of my own will?
Throughout the years, people have tried to blame the death of Jesus on someone, whether it be the Jews or the Romans or Herod or Pilate. I'm sorry, but that misses the point. Mm-hmm. Jesus chose this voluntarily, and he did it as a fulfillment of a promise, a covenant that God had made with all mankind, and that is that he would ransom us from sin.
You know, one time I read this very special statement that I always remember. It said, what kept Jesus on the cross was not the nails.
Yeah.
It was his love for you. It was his own decision. And you might have realized that we talked about some specific hours. In verse 44, when Mike started reading, he talked about the fact that this darkness started at the sixth hour.
And which
that
is
was
noon.
That was noon. This is the middle of the day. But this darkness fell over the land until the ninth hour.
And that's very significant because that was the hour of the Passover sacrifice. The ninth hour, and that's when the temple curtain was rent in two, it tells us here.
Yes, and do you remember that the ninth hour is 3 p.m.? Regularly, sacrifices took place at this very hour. I mean, this is a point that the gospel writers are making by mentioning the time. But on top of that, this was Passover Friday. Now, if you remember when we read from the Last Supper previously, it keeps talking about the fact that we are in Passover, and in chapter 22 of Luke, where Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover for us. So this is the weekend of the Passover. This is the day that they celebrate a very special memorial.
This is a memorial of the deliverance from Egypt. And we go back to Exodus chapter 12, where we find a lot of this story. Again, Israel is being delivered. And one of the last things that's happening here before they're delivered is the angel is going to go throughout the country and slay the firstborn, except for those who have the blood on the doorpost.
Now, you might be wondering, why would God do something like that? You know, early in the chapter, in chapter 4 of Exodus, God had sent a message to Pharaoh, and he said, let my firstborn, Israel, go. Let my son go. But Pharaoh refused, and God said, if you don't let my firstborn go, and you don't release him from prison, I'm going to kill your firstborn. Mm-hmm. And this is where, this is registered in chapter 4 of Exodus, verses 22 and 23. So when we pick this up on chapter 12 of Exodus, this is happening. The firstborn of Egypt is about to die.
And verse 21, it says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. So the blood protected them from death.
And this became a symbolic meal for them. They understood that they were about to be released from their slavery. They understood that there was a symbol that had to do with blood. This lamb was going to die. Of course, all of this was pointing later on to Jesus' sacrifice. They didn't fully understand that yet because many years will go by until Jesus' sacrifice. But this becomes a symbolic meal. And God says, we're going to read on verse 27 of chapter 12 of Exodus, you shall say it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but spare our homes. And the people bowed low and they worshiped when they realized that there's something really big going on in their freedom. You know?
And Paul helped make the connection here in 1 Corinthians 5:7 when he tells us that Jesus Christ was our Passover lamb, that he has been slain for us, he has been sacrificed. So that lamb represented Jesus. His blood on the doorpost of our lives means that we have life. We don't experience the death that Christ experienced. We instead have life because he is our sacrifice.
Yes, the sacrificial system as a whole was an incredible symbol of the large ransom ransom that would be paid for God's people. If you remember, about 3 months ago, we talked to you about the concept of the Goel, how in Hebrew, Goel means our kinsman redeemer, our closest of kin. And when God created us in his image, he became our closest of kin, mm-hmm. and he obligated himself to a rescue package for his own children.
The kinsman redeemer would rescue you if indeed you were sold into slavery, or mm-hmm. you had to sell your land, your family inheritance, or if indeed there was a need to avenge blood on your account, or mm-hmm. maybe even to raise up children to your name. Mm-hmm. The kinsman redeemer had obligated himself to that package. Well, God says, you are in my image. I am your next of kin. I will redeem you. And that, of course, is pointed to throughout all the sacrificial system.
Yes.
That the redemption was coming. Jesus Christ is the sacrificial lamb.
So you can see the whole universal covenant being played out in this one smaller covenant in Exodus, and how the people of Israel realized that their ransom will cost a very high price. And it was symbolized through the blood of the lamb.
So Jesus is our Passover lamb, and that symbol becomes very, very important to us, because it is by that blood that we are saved.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.